I want to talk more about this mass psychosis. Do you believe that this is an organized mass psychosis? This, all these steps that you put about isolation, taking away basic freedoms, and then offering up one individual single solution to this. And this is what has sort of fueled this, what's very obvious to people, that there's a lot of people that are not acting well. They're not acting normal. They are attacking people that seem to be ideologically opposed to whatever is going on, and they're marching in lockstep with the authoritarians, and they're doing it like you would, like Stockholm syndrome or something. It's very strange. But do you think this is an organized thing? Do you think this is just what happens when you have a massive group of people that are dealing with an incredibly tense and anxiety-ridden event like a pandemic, where no one knows what the solution is, and a lot of people are terrified of just everyday life, and then all of a sudden something like this comes along, and those are the people that are more easily manipulated, and they fall in line together because there's sort of a tribal aspect to this type of thinking and behavior, and you find support from other people that are equally afraid.
You know, the mass psychosis clearly is focused on pillar number 4. That was the last pillar that I presented to the Americans in November of 2020 in the U.S. Senate. This is before the vaccines came out, and that is vaccination. Listen, vaccination should play a role. I've taken all the vaccines. My kids have taken all the vaccines. I went to India. I took extra vaccines. So you don't have any problem with vaccines. What had happened is, I want to say by April of 2020, it was clear that the vaccine development program was far more advanced than we ever could have imagined. How could we have actually figured out the neutralizing antibodies and have the sequence to the spike protein and have all that ready to go? We have already figured out how to load it into messenger or adenoviral DNA. How do we actually get that to run? Remember, there are 24 of these platforms. They had all previously failed except for patirisan. A lot of people don't know this. There is a messenger RNA product. I can use it as a cardiologist, called patirisan. It's a small interfering messenger RNA that we use to treat amyloidosis. But the previous trials of gene transfer technology, which is what these are, were normally to replace a missing protein. So, for instance, I'm a cardiologist. I treat a condition called Fabry's disease. It affects the heart. There was a messenger RNA program to basically replace the missing enzyme, alpha-galactosidase. But in this case, to take these platforms and say, you know what, these are ready to go. We're just going to insert the code for the spike protein, which is now what we've learned is the lethal part of COVID-19. The ball of the virus, the nucleocapsid, that beach ball, is relatively harmless. What causes all the damage is the spine or the spicule on the surface. Everyone knows a cartoon of the virus. That's called the spike protein. 1,200 amino acids, about a dozen glycosylation sites. It has some homology, by the way, to HIV. And so a lot of people don't know this, but one of the original antigenic vaccines that was tested in Australia exposed that HIV epitope. It turned everybody in the trial HIV positive who took a COVID-19 vaccine in Australia. These young people were outraged. And so this was on the internet. It was quickly suppressed. But if anybody wants to type this in right now, you can actually learn that one of the very first vaccines tried in Australia actually turned everybody HIV positive. They didn't have HIV, but there was a molecular trickery that was going on. Having said this, now when we look back, when we look at the books, Popper, Bregan, Robert F. Kennedy, and now Atlas, it's pretty clear that this was planned. And it was planned, and the elements of the mass psychosis are clearly planned. In fact, the elements of the mass psychosis are in the Johns Hopkins planning document. They had that up on their website since 2017. Once the pandemic hit in March of 2020, they actually published it in the peer-reviewed literature. You can see how it was all done. That's how the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health had the death count up on CNN and MSNBC and Fox as a scoreboard. Do you remember the scoreboard was number of cases and deaths? How do they get that, Joe? Come on, I fill out death certificates every day. Do you know the average death certificate comes to me 6 weeks after the death? How are they getting these deaths, instantaneous numbers, picking up every day? It was extraordinary what Americans saw. So
how were they getting that?
To this day, we don't know. All we know on the CDC website is the CDC website says that about 90% of the deaths that have occurred with COVID-19 have been associated with significant comorbidities, meaning other major problems that were in the proximal pathway to death. The Italians have just recoded all of their deaths. They say 97% of the Italian deaths, meaning someone had heart failure, advanced lung disease, kidney disease, on dialysis, advanced cancer. A good example was Colin Powell. Colin Powell just died recently. He was in his 80s. He was fully vaccinated, and he died of multiple myeloma, but he was also COVID positive. And so the question is, how much of the COVID did he die of, and how much of the multiple myeloma? Larry King died the same way. I mean, we don't have to go far to find well-known personalities where this happened. The point is, the deaths were coming in quickly. It may be the fact that the deaths, the vast majority of them, occurred in the hospital. So we didn't have to have this prolonged outpatient, you know, death certificate signing, and things were mainlined from the hospital. We know President Trump's authorization for the testing became the way that the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health got the scoreboard for positive tests. And that executive order said all the laboratories and all the departments of public health doing testing will report positive tests to the center, the Johns Hopkins Center. And they did. That means Quest, LabCorp, Abbott, all of them started to have a flow of tests. Interestingly, there was no reconciliation for duplicates. So if you would have went to one testing center and put your name as a Joe Rogan, and you went to another testing center and said your name is, you know, Jose Rogan or something, you'd come in as two different tests. There was never any reconciliation. And we understood over time that the number of tests positive was, in a sense, padded. It was padded by duplicate tests. It was padded by this idea of asymptomatic testing. So one of the big discoveries in 2020 is that the virus is not spread asymptomatically. It's only spread from sick person to susceptible person. This is a very important. Two major papers, one by Cao from China, one by Madewell, nailed this down. Once we learned that asymptomatic testing wasn't happening, it became clear the Swedes were right. Scott Atlas was right. The only thing we needed to do was just keep sick people at home. They were the only people who needed to quarantine. And well, people could go do what they were going to do. Somebody can't walk into a workplace with no symptoms and give the virus to somebody else. It doesn't happen.
The problem is with that is that a lot of people are not honest about their symptoms. We had a guy at a bar that we work at, that we do stand-up at. He showed up. He's like, I got a, you know, he's just saying, God, he's got a headache. And someone said, what do you mean you have a headache? And he goes, I've just got this headache. And he goes, have you been COVID tested? And he goes, oh, my, I don't want to test positive. Then I'll have to take off work. And they went, what? And so they tested him. He was positive. And they sent him home. But that guy was going to greet customers at a comedy club.
Valid point. Valid point. The new thinking really has to be either we don't trust people and we asymptomatically test everybody. But, you know, the World Health Organization, as of June 25th, says no asymptomatic testing. The FDA has never cleared these tests for asymptomatic testing. The CDC doesn't give a green light to do this. Asymptomatic testing, and people like you and me, we just walked in, we have asymptomatic testing, that if we get a positive, the chances that that positive is false positive is 97%.
97%. And that is if you are asymptomatic.
Completely asymptomatic. And to make matters worse, so many of us have already had COVID-19. And now our CDC admits, finally through a Freedom of Information Act, lead attorney Aaron Seary pressed the CDC and said, listen, you're saying you can get COVID twice. Show us a case. Show us a case. Pressed, pressed, pressed. Finally, the CDC director came out and said, you know what? You can't get it twice. We've never had a single case.
But I have a friend that got it twice.
What you have is you have a friend who thinks he had it twice. What happened is, on one or more occasions, it's a false positive test, or he actually had the dead virus that he's carrying forward. Somebody in my family circles had COVID-19, for sure had it, got sick. That person tested positive intermittently 17 times.
Yeah, but this wasn't just a test positive. He got sick, he recovered, and then about 7-8 months later, he got sick again. Tested positive again and had a much milder case of it, but still got COVID twice.
Yeah, it wasn't a second case. This is what's happened.
For sure?
Yeah. There's about 100 purported cases like this in the literature. I've looked at them all. What happens is we would need a rigorous definition of, put it this way, if you could get COVID-19 twice, we would have seen hundreds of millions of cases. Do you know how susceptible the elderly are? Mm. This would have swept through the nursing homes over and over again. We would have seen grandmothers on the ventilator 16 times. I'm telling you right now, you can't get it twice. The criteria are, and this is the reason why the CDC says it can't happen. The criteria would be that you have a positive PCR test at a low cycle threshold, less than 28. You're positive on the antigen immunoassay test, so the nucleocapsid is there, and you do sequencing, and you can actually find the virus sequence there. Now, you do that on two occasions. You do that on one occasion, and someone's really sick and has the characteristic signs and symptoms, and you do it again 6 months later, then you actually have the first case of recurrent infection of COVID-19. There's nothing that meets that rigor. To make matters worse, the CDC has now admitted that the methodology they used for the PCR originally, the CDC methodology that was distributed to all the departments of community health and where the laboratory-derived assays for the health systems in the early parts of the pandemic cannot distinguish between flu and on COVID-19. So invariably, someone had flu on occasion one and tested positive and was pretty sick, and then they had COVID-19 the second time.
Or vice versa, right? So if that's the case, why is there this resistance to the idea that people have natural immunity?
All roads lead to the vaccine. Why is there no single Harvard protocol or Mayo Clinic protocol to treat COVID-19 to prevent hospitalization and death? Why? We're 2 years into it. You mean Harvard won't treat a single patient at home to prevent a hospitalization? I said at the very beginning, I said there's two bad outcomes. There's hospitalization and death. That's it. If you could get through this at home and not end up in the hospital, the whole world could get through this. And you know, not a single leader could articulate that goal of avoiding these hospitalizations and death. Not a single leader. Trump couldn't say it. Biden couldn't say it. Marcone couldn't say it. Nobody could actually state the problem. This is what Scott Atlas is saying. There is a global ineptitude where they can't even state what the problem is. If you go to any one of these CEOs of these health systems and say, what are you doing to prevent hospitalizations and deaths with COVID-19 as a composite outcome? They draw a blank.